Welcome to this podcast from Harvest Community Church of Huntersville, North Carolina, where our vision is to make disciples who make disciples. I'm your host, Meg Robinson. Today on the podcast, Pastor Scott Torres interviews Chap Bettis of the Apollos Project and author of The Disciple-Making Parent, a comprehensive guidebook for raising your children to love and follow Jesus Christ.
Scott Torres, I'm here with Chap Bettis, author of The Disciple-Making Parent. He's the father of four children, husband to Sharon, and pastor for over 25 years. Chap, thank you for joining us.
It's my pleasure.
I didn't mean to steal your intro, but I'd love for you to tell us a little bit more about you. How did you go into the ministry? How did you start doing what you're doing? Tell us a little bit more about.
Well, I grew up in the South. In Alabama, and ended up going to college in Rhode Island, just became burdened for the needs of New England. So Rhode Island's about 2 or 3% evangelical Christian, and realized, oh, I could be a missionary without learning a new language or without getting a passport, and stayed and ended up planting and pastoring a church there. Part of my faith journey, which actually ties into the ministry, was I grew up in a believing home, but had a lot of intellectual questions when I was growing up that I never asked. So I'm not blaming anyone, but no one ever offered that and said, you might be having questions. Here are good reasons for the Christian faith. So part of my own journey was realizing in college how much apologetic resources and reasons for the faith there are. I mean, now I would say it takes more faith to be an atheist than to be a Christian once you see all the evidence out there. So ended up staying there. I'm now a New England guy, and I am a native. Well, I tell my kids, so I'm from Alabama, so I can claim the Crimson Tide, and New England Patriots, and so we are hated by the whole world. And so,
tough. We're Panther fans around here.
So I know that.
We don't like to hear that. So you were pastor for 25 years, left the pastorate, and transitioned into what you're doing now, author, speaker. Tell us a little bit about how that came about and what your emphasis is.
Yeah. So really had no plans to change. Love the church, believe they love me, and we were prospering there. And part of the material in The Disciple-Making Parent came about because a number of us as families were trying to think through how to disciple our kids. So we had some great resources, what I would call parenting 101, and that was very helpful. But in terms of saying what's the ultimate goal, we want to pass the gospel to our kids, and what are the resources? And we didn't really see anything out there that was satisfying. And so over the years, just a number of us began talking and thinking, experimenting, trying to think through that biblically, And then just 6 years ago, now at this point, God changed my heart that to pursue this ministry full time, that actually it's a vital need. I know, you know what Mark Twain says about statistics, you can make them say anything you want to, but I think I can say with integrity that about 50% of kids, 40 to 50% of kids who grew up in the Christian faith will walk away. And so to say this is important, this is a crisis, if you want to say that, and so I need to devote myself full time to that. So yeah, the ministry, I've been doing it for 6 years.
All right, so we talked about this last night over dinner. When it comes to children, discipling your children, parenting your children, you mentioned in your book that you wouldn't go to Deuteronomy 6 or Ephesians 6 as the key passage. You would go to Matthew 28. Tell me why. Tell us why.
Well, the Deuteronomy 6 and Ephesians 6 are very helpful. But to me, the big picture, the North Star I want to get in my head is parenting. as a parent is, what does God want me to do? So, you know, one of the things I think as parents of young kids, there's all these, you have all these influences, all these fears. Should we do dance? Should we do soccer? Should we do baseball? And your kids start to fall behind and you're worried. And so there's all these decisions you have to make. So you need, in one sense, to say, what's guiding us? What's the North Star? Every parent wants to give their child the best, but what is the best? And so to realize that that's the gospel. That's in Matthew 28, Jesus says, go and make disciples. And so we're to go across the oceans, we're to go across our street, and we're to go across the dining room table. God gives us little disciples. And so so once I realize that, then now I can start to put into perspective and start thinking through, okay, is sports helping his or her spiritual development? Is dance helping their development? Are all these things? Now I have the North Star to aim at. And then one of those ways that I make disciples is Ephesians 6, fathers, don't exasperate your children, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And Deuteronomy 6, which is to talk about the word, teach and talk about the word, which are vitally important. But I can teach and talk about the word, and I can have obedient children, but that sometimes doesn't help me remember, where are we going? Where's the whole family going? So that's why I would argue Matthew 28 is the Great Commission applies not only to churches, but also to families and parents.
Would it be safe to say that perhaps in our church subculture, maybe in North America, and I know this may be just a gross generalization, but maybe we've missed that over the decades? Safe to say?
Yeah, because I think what it's easy to say is, well, to me, what's happening is I have if I'm a person who loves the Lord and really wants to honor Him, I have my church life, and then over here, disconnected, another part of my brain is parenting and church kind of aren't connected. So that's what I'm trying to do with Matthew 28 is say, these are connected, because often what I do is to say, okay, church life, and that's, I'll participate in kids ministry, and my kids should be in kids ministry perhaps, but to say, oh, I'm actually to make disciples of them, to, oh yeah, okay, so we'll think about academics, we'll think about sports, etc., but I also need to think about their spiritual development.
All right, so to transition a little bit, as you travel around the country, around the world, helping equip parents to disciple their children, what do you find surprising and what do you find encouraging?
That's a good question. Encouraging, I have seen a new generation of youth leaders who see the importance of the family. And so that's been encouraging to see that there are people, there are families in the church, or there are leaders in the church who get it, who don't want to separate their kids from the families necessarily. Or if they're doing it, they're saying, we're trying to supplement what you need to do, and we're also going to equip you. And so that's been encouraging. I think there are a number of parents who really want to do what is right. And so then the next question is, okay, what do I do? Which is part of the contents of the disciple-making parent. So what do I do? And so that's been encouraging. I think as in our own culture, and maybe I'm more sensitive to this coming from New England rather than locally here in Charlotte, but I think as the difference between Christians and non-Christians becomes greater, they're Christians, and there's a new generation of young people who are standing strong, and that's very encouraging. I don't think this is too strong, living in New England. I think we're living in the new dark ages. So the dark ages were not dark because the sun didn't come out. The dark ages were dark because of the ideas. And if we don't know what a male and female is, our educated people don't know that. That's in confusion. Then we have a darkness of ideas. And so to see young people and families who want to stand strong, then that's very encouraging. I would say, what was the other question?
Well, what do you find surprising?
So our kids now, recording this, are now 28 to 22. We missed the, we were just on the tail end of the media phenomenon. So the internet was just coming online. We're figuring that out. I've heard someone say that, was it 2008, 2007, the first iPhone? He said, yeah, around there. His remark was, I think that date is going to be etched in history just as the date of the invention of the Gutenberg printing press. And it's surprising to me that we have this invention in our hand that is so powerful to deliver blessing and sewage, and we're still wrestling with how do we manage that as a family. And so I'm regularly surprised at families, I'll get myself in trouble here, but just families who hand over this device without any intentionality. So it's like giving your 8-year-old keys to your car, I think, in some ways. And so we need to get our head around that as a church culture.
Are you familiar with the book, The
Techwise Family?
Techwise Family.
Yeah. So it's excellent. Excellent. Yeah. Yeah. It's an excellent resource. And what I would love to see is churches come up with best practices. Just like, here's what we do. Because, and so part of, again, thinking of New England, but I'm sure it's down here, we're going to have to be somewhat different than the world in that we value different things. And so how do we do that? And the Christian life should be a joyful life. It shouldn't be, you know, drinking lemon juice. We're not like, oh man, I follow Jesus and it's a horrible life. So, but having said that, there are some constraints we have. So we say it is good to be physically restrained in a relationship until you're married. So in the similar way to say, how do we enjoy life? And we're going to do things differently. And that's where a church community can be helpful, so that when your teens say, well, everybody else in school has whatever this is, whatever this device is. And we say, well, that's okay, but neither do Mr. Jones and the Joneses and the Smiths and all these families. We're seeking to, you know, let you responsibly use this, and so to be in church community together.
It reminds me of church culture and how important culture is in helping shape, I guess, these types of things. As we close, I'd love for you to I just want to tease out talking about devices. So
I said we're on the back end of that. So go ahead.
But yeah, you're on the front end. I know you're on the front end. What advice? Give us some more advice. Say you got a young mom, single mom, couple kids. She comes home. She's wore out from work. And say it's a Friday going into Saturday, and it's very easy to hand a device. Just entertain yourself, you know. What advice would you give moms like that?
Well, I think that's where trying to figure out how to be intentional. So I watched TV growing up. Our kids had video time. You know, it's so realizing that I'm not at all saying don't give an electronic device. And even then, there's a spread, right? Because there's the phone with the cell phone access to anything, and then there's an electronic fun little game, right? So again, I'm not in that phase. I've seen those out there, and but I would say, assuming the safety of the content, I would just say being intentional about that, to say, okay, we're going to have 1 hour or 2 hours or whatever it is. But then there's also to also creatively think, what are those other times that I can build in? What are my other, for lack of a better word, coping mechanisms to say, these are the other type things we do. So, and realize, and this gets in this much deeper, but realize that we're not our kids' friends, so they're not going to like our choices that we give them. So, Sharon would send the kids outside and, in a sense, lock the door for 45 minutes and go, unless there's blood, don't come back in, you know? And so you have to go out and be creative. And I think that's what's, it's maybe a longer answer than you wanted, but part of creativity is actually having boundaries. So being forced to go outside, and sure, we gave them a few things and some ideas to spark their imagination, but say, you go out and play zoo, or you go out and do something like that. So to I would say have those alternatives. But again, that's talking about the quantity. So there's two issues, I think, quantity and quality. Quality meaning pornography and that type of thing. But thinking about the young mom with single mom with young kids, those are some thoughts. I think the other thing, so, and we'll be talking about this afternoon, but a big thing is, I say it this way, my kids never owned a phone until they were 18. I, however, own 6, meaning it's my device that I let my kids use. They don't have a device, and then we get into this power play. It's, no, I have a device here. You go, here, honey, in the case of a mom with young kids, here, honey, you take that for an hour or whatever, but I'm giving you that privilege so that when I take it away and say, now it's time to read a book, now it's time to
I've never
do something
heard
else.
Stated that way, and I think that's really good. People interested in learning more about you, where can they find you?
So it's the Apollos Project, or you can just Google my name, Chap Bettis. And I'd love to offer your listeners a free audiobook of The Disciple Making Parent. So if they'll shoot an email to audiobook@theapollosproject.com, they can get that. And yeah, I mean, I would just say, you know, one of the perspectives we need to have is God hasn't just given us a baby; He's given us a soul to influence. And so, to me, I wanted to be as intentional as possible. We made lots of mistakes. We're going to make lots of mistakes. Salvation's not by works, not by their works, not by our works. And so, but having said that, what can I want to be intentional as a parent. And so, that's why I wrote The Disciple Making Parent.
If you're listening, the section on the front end of the book on disciple making was worth the whole book. Not only do you explain what disciple making is, but the summary of it, I thought it was just fantastic. I've read a lot of books on disciple making, and I felt like you've condensed it into, if I had to write about disciple making, I would have written it the way you did. So fantastic. Grab the book, grab the free audio book, go to Amazon. I think it's on sale for $7. Chaps, thank you for your time today.
My pleasure.
Thanks again for joining us today from Harvest Community Church. This podcast is also available on our website, harvestcharlotte.com. Please go there if you want to send a question or comment, learn more about our ministries, or find out about how you can donate to support the podcast.